Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 3 of the Flyers Buzz podcast here on Flyers Radio 24/7. I'm Brian Smith, joined by Bill Meltzer as we get ready for the Flyers Wives Carnival here on the day we're recording this, the yearly gathering of all the Flyers fans and all the Flyers players here to benefit a whole bunch of charities throughout the greater Philadelphia area. So we are getting ready for that. But before we do, we will talk a little bit about Flyers hockey and what's been going on with the team over the last few games. It has not been a great week for the Flyers as they've had a couple of shutout losses and a couple of games that they lost in overtime. And Bill, we'll start with the most recent one, the afternoon game against Calgary from Saturday, a game where the Flyers jumped out to a good start, but the Flames were able to come back and win that one in overtime.
That was a game where the Flyers really were their own worst enemies to a large extent. You know, you give Calgary credit for their ability to counterattack on the first goal and in overtime, but the Flyers had that game in hand. You know, they were winning 3-1 in the second period. They were out shooting Calgary 9-0 at the point that Calgary finally scored their first of three power play goals. And it was the types of penalties, too, were a little bit frustrating because they were undisciplined penalties. These weren't situations where, you know, you were forced to take a penalty. You know, one was a careless high stick in the offensive zone. Getting a little too emotional over calls that were made or not made and, getting on the referee and getting on his bad side. I mean, you know, it's a situation you never want to take a bench minor the way that Shane Gostisbehere did. I mean, it was just letting your emotions get the best of you, you know. And then he took a needless elbowing penalty after that. And then there was also a slashing penalty by Brandon Manning in there. All of those self-inflicted wounds, you know. And the Flyers paid for all three of them, you know. And the Flyers had been on such a good penalty killing run. They were 14 of their last 15. They were 20 of 24 for the month of November coming in. And, you know, they gave up three of them. And one of them was, you know, the third one was a fluky one. Taylor Lear, you know, very painfully, we shall say, blocked a shot there. Then it turned into a 5-on-3 because the puck went, you know, the Flyers never got the puck back, so there was no whistle. And a couple moments later, it's in the net. And even there, you know, the Flyers, I thought they settled in and played a very solid third period. That's been a theme in all four of these games, Brian, that the Flyers were in position every third period in the last four. That if you win that period, you're either guaranteed one or 2 points. You know, there was a 1-0 loss. It was scoreless going into the third. Then there's the next game, you're trailing 1-0 going into the third. Flyers were winning in Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, and then yesterday was tied going into the third. And yesterday, again, I thought they played a good, solid third period. You know, couldn't get a goal in there. And, you know, that's a situation where someone has to step up. There were chances. But, you know, at the end of the day, where 8 points have kind of been, you know, within grasp, you know, instead of that, the Flyers are looking at two from them. And that's frustrating.
Definitely is. And I guess if you want to find a silver lining at all in that overall situation is that, you know, yesterday's game was a game the Flyers lost not because they were outplayed maybe, but because of lack of discipline and the loss of composure in certain areas. But if you look past that and the situations they put themselves in that resulted in goals for the Flames, they did play a solid game against a Calgary team that's had a pretty good start this year.
Yeah, Calgary's a club that can attack you with a lot of speed. You know, they have guys on that team, not just Goudreau and Monahan, who had the hat trick, but I mean they have other guys as well. Ferland is a good player. He actually made a phenomenal pass on the Goudreau breakaway goal. I mean they have guys that can hurt you. And the Flyers pretty well dictated the play, particularly at 5-on-5. And as I said, you know the shots in the second period were 9-0 for the Flyers when Monahan scored on their first shot of the period. They got the game to 3-2, so the game was still in hand there. And then the Flyers reestablished control in the third period, and even in the overtime, the Flyers had possession for the first minute of the period. I mean, the Flyers did a lot of good things in that game, you know, and they started to get a little bit of the secondary scoring we've been talking about is being so badly needed too.
Well, definitely on the defensive side of things, they had a couple of contributions yesterday from defensive scoring, and that's an area where the Flyers had been good in past years. I think something that's going to come is, you know, a lot of people focus on these young defensemen learning to play the NHL game and defend NHL players, and once they do that, I think, you know, you might start seeing a lot more of this scoring from guys not named Shane Gostisbehere. I mean, look at Brandon Manning. He didn't have a goal last year for two-thirds of the season. Now he's got 3 in 10 games. He's managed to contribute in that area.
Right, absolutely. And you can look at Travis Sanheim's rookie year with the Phantoms last year. You know, Travis did not have a goal before December 8th, and he finished the season with 10.
Yeah.
And that was in a season where only one of them came on the power play. I mean, T.J. Brennan was the Phantoms' power play quarterback. He's had about 4 or 5 near misses already. Once he gets the first one, he's going to start contributing some goals. And even Ghost, you know, Gostisbehere has been racking up the assists this season, but he's still sitting on one goal. I mean, he's going to score.
Yep.
You know, and in terms of the forward scoring depth, I mean, Wayne Simmonds didn't forget how to score goals. He had, you know, he had a hat trick on opening night. He's back-to-back 30-goal seasons, and he looks very close. I think the time off did him a lot of good. His last 2 games in particular, I thought he's had all kinds of scoring chances. He looks close. And you know when Simmonds, the guy, when he gets hot, can put up 6 or 7 goals in, you know, an 8 or 9 game span. And and Konechny will start scoring at some point. You know,
right?
There's talent there, and some of those contributions are going to start coming in. Philpa, those guys.
So no truth to the rumor that the three goals on the power play had something to do with your article the other day about how good the penalty kill was.
It is. It is inevitable.
I think that was a fluke, though. I really do. I mean, I watched that game, and I see what you said with, you know, Taylor Lear taking a shot up high that incapacitated him, really. I saw on one of Monahan's goals, I don't remember if it was the first or the second, but somebody had Robert Haig in a full Nelson with their stick,
right?
And he couldn't move. And I don't know. you hate to jump on the whole harping on the officiating thing. I don't know how that's not hooking, and what Jake Voracek did was. I don't know.
Yeah, that was a bizarre one, especially Calgary had possession of the puck, and Calgary thought the penalty was on them.
Yep.
So.
Well, anyway, moving on from that, the Flyers will look to hopefully go into the Thanksgiving holiday on a big note. They've got a couple more opportunities to do so against Vancouver, and then finally an Eastern Conference team in the New York Islanders, a home and homecoming for them. But as we record this here on a Sunday morning, we do not know yet the result of the Radko Gudas hearing, which, again, as we record this, is going to take place later today. But, it seems likely that he is going to get something that's going to keep him out for at least a couple of weeks. And from there, the Flyers will move on in terms of restocking their defense, hopefully with Andrew McDonald. If not, it looks like Sam Moran has been playing down in Lehigh Valley and will be ready to come up if needed. What do you see coming there from the Flyers?
I think that, it's fortunate that Andrew McDonald's close to returning. But I do think there's a pretty good chance that you could see Sam Moran pretty soon. He's had 2 games back since he came back off of injury. The first game back, you would expect him to be rusty, especially because both he and Philippe Myers had been out for a while. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a funny game for the Phantoms. I mean, they had a lot of territorial play there, but they lost 6-2.
Right.
And it was a tough game for him, tough game for Philippe. But in Friday's game, they were Both ends of that pairing were dominant. I mean, and Sam Moran had 2/3 of a Gordie Howe hat trick that day. Just a really strong game for him in general. And he looks healthy again. So he's a guy who could come up and lend some physical play.
I mean, nobody's going to go 70-10 in hockey these days. But the Phantoms went through a tough week. But I really thought it was part of the ebbs and flows of hockey. I don't know what their schedule is like. I know it's been certainly a lot less busy in the last week and a half than they've been used to, and you kind of get out of your rhythm a little bit, and maybe things are a little bit more difficult to handle. But I don't think it's anything to worry about. I see them bouncing back from it.
No, I agree, and it's the longest road trip of the season too. They're still in the middle of it, so.
Well, moving on to the prospect update, Carter Hart started the year with a bout of mononucleosis. It kept him out of the lineup for a while, a little slow to get back, but he seems to be back to his old self with a couple of terrific games in the Western Hockey League this week.
He had back-to-back shutouts, and he's actually 20 career shutouts in the Western Hockey League. So he's had three shutouts in the last couple of weeks here. So he looks to be back at 100%. You know, the Flyers have so many prospects in the system right now who are just mm-hmm. scorching hot offensively. Cooper Marody, we don't hear too much about him, but he's having a phenomenal junior collegiate season in Michigan. He's had eight straight multi-point games. Allison has he had two goals last night. Allison has had a hat trick earlier this year, averaging over a point per game in his sophomore season. Tanner Leshinsky was NCAA Player of the Week a couple of weeks ago. Matthew Sushko has been pretty hot in the Ontario League. And Matthew Strom and Connor Bunneman have just been on goal-scoring tears. And the other guy I'll add in is that the other two I'll add in there is that Morgan Frost and German Rubitsov have both been outstanding in recent weeks.
It's really interesting to see three guys really at the collegiate level for the Flyers system doing well. A lot of times people just focus on Canadian juniors and what's going on in Europe and whatnot, but it's been a while that I can think of since they've had guys that have been doing as well as they had in the college ranks. And you just look at some of the success the Flyers have had recently with players coming out of college. A few years ago it was Matt Reed. Now it's obviously Shane Gostisbehere, and Mike Vecchione doesn't have a spot on the Flyers right now, but was the Rookie of the Month last year for the American Hockey League after a great start for the Phantoms. So it's certainly an area that the Flyers are looking at and obviously having some success with it.
Absolutely, and it's also as people talk about the forward depth in this, I agree with you that a lot of the focus ends up falling on the Canadian junior guys and the guys, of course, with the Phantoms as well. But it's a lot of these collegiate guys are shaping up very nicely, and they're not seniors either. Mm-hmm. They're young players. I mean, Leshinsky was on Team USA's gold medal winning team in the World Juniors last season. He's just in his second collegiate year, and I said Allison is a sophomore, and Marody's a junior. So, there's a lot of talent in the system coming through the collegiate and the junior ranks.
So the Flyers Wives Carnival is upon us. We're taping this right before it starts, but the carnival every year is really a unique thing in sports, in hockey especially. But a lot of teams have come to the Flyers looking to imitate it. That's kind of how respected it's been over the years, and it really gives folks a good chance to come out and meet the players, meet the staff, all while raising some money for great causes. But it's I believe 37 years this year this has been going on.
That's I think the first one was in 77, actually.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So we're getting close to 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you – I didn't get to come to it as a kid. I just never got around to it. I don't know if you've had any memories of it, but I know a lot of folks do.
I did, actually. The only time I ever met Pelle Lindbergh was at Carnival when I was 13. Mm. That was certainly memorable. You think about those guys, Yannick Dupre. It was just a great opportunity. Before I worked in the media realm, to have access to the players and to to meet with the coaches, and it was also there was always that family feeling too, because it was actually the Flyers running it. It wasn't outsourced. It was always something that we look forward to every year. For some points, we were going pretty much every year. So it was, it's always been a great event.
And I know in the Flyers world here, we had some condolences and some congratulations, I believe, you wanted to pass along this week.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll start with the bad news. Condolences go out to Brian Propp. His dad passed away, Reverend Reinhold Propp in Saskatchewan. And Brian was very, very close with his dad, and it's very sad. Doug Crossman, also condolences to Doug Crossman. His stepmom passed away. On a happier note, Keith Primo and his wife Lisa are grandparents for the first time.
He doesn't look old enough to be a grandparent.
No. And since Keith is just about my age, that's actually kind of scary.
And I know it wasn't this past week, but I know relatively recently Brian Boucher lost his father as well. So yeah. Our condolences to the Boucher family while we're on that note. So looking ahead to this week, Flyers have, again, one more Western Conference game to get out of the way, and then a home-and-home with the New York Islanders. Obviously, this team is going to be at a point here, whereas Dave Hakstol said last night, it pisses you off that things are going this way. I don't believe it's been through overall poor play. I don't think it's a huge issue that they have to fix, but they got to fix it because these points are leaking away a little bit, and they probably see these three games coming up as a good opportunity to get things turned around here around the Thanksgiving holiday.
It's critical. You know, when you look at the statistics of where teams are at Thanksgiving as to how many are in playoff position that make it and how many that are out of playoff position that end up getting into playoff position, even though you're just past the quarter mark of the season, and even though it's often pretty tightly packed, it gets harder and harder and harder to move up in the standings as you go along. There's more 3-point games. There's a lot of factors that take place. So, you have to put aside the frustration of having 8 points within your reach and getting 2, but that can't keep happening.
Right. Absolutely. Well, Bill, thanks very much for joining us this week, and have a happy Thanksgiving with you and your family. And we will do this again somewhere around the back half of the Thanksgiving holiday.
Absolutely. You too, Brian.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Flyer Buzz here on Flyers Radio 24/7. Don't forget to check out FlyersRadio247.com for the new online music station of the Philadelphia Flyers. Not just hockey on there. We have the games, obviously, and we have the Phantoms games and a lot of stuff going on, but we've got a great music lineup going on when there's not hockey or replays or what have you going on. So make sure you check that out and let us know what you think at FlyersRadio247.com. Again, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, and we will talk to you soon.